Welcome to Fraser 365. I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor at Fraser Church, and we're so glad that you've joined us in this study of the book of Joshua. Our prayer is that this study equips you to live the victorious life that is offered in Christ. God bless.
This is day 51 of Joshua, Living the Victorious Life. Today's title is His Word and His Presence. Martin Luther said, "The Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays hold of me." Our text today is Joshua 8:32-33. It reads, "And there, in the presence of the people of Israel, he wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written. And all Israel, sojourner as well as native-born, with their elders and officers and their judges, stood on opposite sides of the ark before the Levitical priests who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord, half of them in front of Mount Gerizim and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded at the first, to bless the people of Israel." Remember, this journey to Shechem was a command given by Moses back in Deuteronomy 27. So the invasion into the Promised Land was put on pause while the whole nation of Israel went on a 25-mile hike from Gilgal to worship God. Once the approximately 3 million people reached the valley, Joshua built an altar, and on the stones of this altar, Joshua copied the law of Moses. Max Lucado shares these notes. In the ancient Near East, it was customary for kings to commemorate their military achievements by recording their conquests on huge stones covered with plaster. Joshua, however, didn't memorialize his work. He celebrated God's law. The secret to the successful campaign of the Hebrews was not the strength of the army, but the resolve of the people who keep God's commandments. "Then all of Israel split into two groups, with half of them standing in front of Mount Gerizim and the other half in front of Mount Ebal. They have the mountains behind them and the Ark of the Covenant in front of them. Everybody in the entire nation is facing the symbol of the presence of God. While they're facing the Ark, they are also focused on God's Word written on the altar." Brian Harbour describes the moment with these words, "Everything at this point was ideal. The people were together. Their attention was focused on God. The law of God was understood. It was a mountaintop experience that reminded them again of who God was and who they were." Warren Wiersbe adds the following from his Wealth of Biblical Wisdom. "Joshua now reaffirmed the law in the land of promise. Since the area between Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim was a natural amphitheater, everyone could hear the words of the law clearly and respond with intelligence. By shouting amen to the statements that were read, the people admitted that they understood the law with its blessings and curses, and that they accepted the responsibility of obeying it. This included the women, children, and sojourners who had joined Israel. If they wanted to share in Israel's conquest, they had to submit to the law of Israel's God. God's people today spiritually stand in a valley between two mounts, Mount Calvary, where Jesus died for our sins, and the Mount of Olives, where he will return in power and great glory. The Old Testament prophets saw the Messiah's suffering and glory, but they did not see the valley between this present age and the church. Believers today aren't living under the curse of the law because Jesus bore that curse on a tree. In Christ, believers are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Because of the grace of God, for them, life means the blessings of Gerizim and not the curses of Ebal. However, because Christians are not under the law, but grace, it doesn't mean that we can live any way we please and ignore the law of God or defy it. We aren't saved by keeping the law, nor are we sanctified by trying to meet the demands of the law. But the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us as we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. If we put ourselves under the law, we forfeit the enjoyment of the blessings of grace. If we walk in the Spirit, we experience His life-changing power and live pleasing to God." Joshua and the Israelites did not yet have the blessing of the Spirit of God living in them through Christ, but they took God and His law seriously in the valley between the mountains, agreeing that to read it, hear it, and obey it was a blessing to them, just as it is to us today. Here are some questions to consider. After the people win the battle at Ai, they stop to worship God and hear his word anew, refocusing on God himself as the giver of blessings. Are you focused on God's blessings or on God himself? How can you seek God's presence in worship through a priority on his word? Write down specific ways you can worship him through his word. What comes to mind when you picture this scene described at the end of Joshua 8? As you imagine the enormous crowd split in half, standing with mountains to their backs and facing the Ark of the Covenant, what would have been your reaction if you had been there? Spend some time today praising Jesus for who he is through what his word reveals. Pray with me. Lord, thank you for who you are, and thank you for your word. We pray that as we have read it today, you would be writing it on our hearts, such that we can rejoice when you want us to rejoice, and we can worship when you need us to worship. Lord, teach us how to be more like you. In your name we pray. Amen.